Praise God. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for covering a couple of families on vacation, some sick. But it's so good to see everyone today on this Christmas Sunday. So glad that you could be here with us. And I wanted to start with a story. You know, if you go to Wikipedia on the internet and you want to read biographies of different people who have ever lived and they were born, they lived, they were died here on this planet. It's a great place for a short biography. It's not long, it's not, but you can read through their life, what it was like and things like that. These people that have impacted the world from their humble births to later worldwide fame. Some of them you could read about people who changed your life and my life forever. I'll give you an example. Thomas Edison, of course. Everybody knows Thomas Edison. He created the beautiful light bulbs that we see all around us. You know, I mean, all the times that he had to work and work and work, failure after failure, and God saw him through and he ended up creating the incandescent light. How about Dr. Christian Barnard? Dr. Christian Barnard, the first heart transplant. Think about that. Now it's like and, you know, just like getting a tooth removed now, but in that time when he did that, you know, that was cutting edge. It was never done before. Alexander Fleming, you may not know Alexander Fleming as much as the others, but he invented a very important medicine, penicillin. Okay, many, many years ago, the penicillin that is used continually. And then finally, Dr. Jonas Salk, he invented the polio vaccine, which helped so many people that suffered horribly from that and protected people from getting that same horrible disease. Now, you can study these people for hours and hours. You can read and read and read, and there's so many more than these four. These were just little examples of what you could do if you go there and plug names in or plug in some invention. You could study for hours and hours about their discoveries, their inventions, but you will always, what you will always, always, always discover is that no scientist, no religious figure, no philosopher who has ever walked the face of the earth even came close to having the impact on our lives as the Lord Jesus Christ, that baby that was born 5 miles south of Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago. No one even close. Jesus, and this is what I'd like to talk to you about this morning, Jesus was the baby that changed everything. He was the baby that changed everything. And even though his birth took place 2,000 years ago, because he rose from the dead and because he's seated at the Father's right hand, he continues to impact this world. He continues to affect the lives of literally billions of people. You know, we have people sitting in our midst that in this very year, Jesus broke into their lives and brought them eternal life and assurance of eternal life. It's so exciting. And you know what? This impact that he's continuing to have on lives, I know this firsthand, and many of you know this as well. I know this firsthand because I'm one of those billions that has had his life completely changed because of the matchless power of this baby born that night so long ago in Bethlehem. Now, this Christmas Sunday morning, I could probably share with you literally hundreds of ways that Jesus impacted me personally. I could share so many things that he's done over these many, many years and decades. But this morning, I'd like to share just three that in my heart were and are game changers. Three impacts that this baby born thousands of years ago has had on my life. And for me, Jesus was the baby who changes everything Number one, because when I was 18, he gave me a genuine peace in my mind and in my heart that I've never, ever had before. He gave me a genuine peace. On the night before that Jesus died, of course, in the upper room, you'll remember this verse I have on the screen. Because Jesus told his disciples in the upper room, "Peace I leave with you. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot receive." I'm sorry, the world cannot give. "The peace I give," let me reread that. "The peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid." And man, that is the truth. This world cannot give the peace to humans that only Jesus gives. And that's why all the time we read and see in the newspaper and on the evening news of people, like famous people, wealthy people that have committed suicide. Because after all was said and done, and all of the exciting things and all the places they've gone and all the exciting things they've done and movies they've starred in and adulation by humans, guess what? They were lacking what only Jesus could give them: genuine peace. And you know, I was at a factory. I'd like to talk about this a little bit more toward the end of the message, but I'll never forget 1979, when I was sitting behind the welding factory where I had a summer job and reading for the first time in my life, really staring at scriptures out of God's Word, just looking at them and pondering them, and the amazing thing God did in my life that night that still impacts me to this very day. It's going to be 42 years. In this coming year. It's unbelievable. But I'm so thankful. So that's the first reason. The first thing that Jesus did for me, he gave me genuine peace. He helped me to understand how I can have peace with his Father, that I can know that my sins were forgiven. And like I said at the end, I'm going to talk about that just a little bit more. But if you're not sure of that genuine peace, if you don't know that you have peace with God, or maybe you're joining us online, and you're watching from afar, well, listen carefully, because today, by the time I'm done talking, you can know that you know that you know that you have everlasting life. So that's the first reason, genuine peace, genuine peace. But Jesus, to me, is the baby who changes everything. Number two, because of this astounding freedom, he gave me astounding freedom from bad habits in my life that I was completely controlled by. Astounding freedom. I stand here today, and I don't by any means say that I'm even close to being sinless or anything like that. But compared to where I was as an 18-year-old and where I am today, it is night and day. It is night and day. You know, until I heard the amazing story of how to be forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future, through the power and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, most of what I did in my life was simply what I wanted to do and what made me happy. That's what I did the first 18 years of my life. You know, I was so selfish. I was so hurtful. I was so evil. I took things that didn't belong to me. And I said things about people behind their backs. And you know what? You can relate to this. We all realize if all of a sudden, in fact, I remember at the factory, one of those little gospel tracts I read that had the cartoons, the Jack Chick cartoon tracts. It showed that one called "This Is Your Life," and that man in that story was having his whole life shown on a screen before God. And he's standing there before that screen, and he's saying, "No, no, not that." And you know what? And when I read that, that impacted me, because I said, that would be me right there. That would be me. And I think about all those ways that I failed God, I failed my parents, I failed other people, I hurt other people. But I love what Jesus said. And after I became a new believer, I learned these verses from John chapter 8. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Did you hear that? Be free indeed means you will truly be free. If the Son makes you free, you'll truly be free. You'll truly be free. It's true freedom. It's true freedom. Now, some people in the world might think they get freedom, but it's not like this freedom. Knowing that you are saved, and then God helping you overcome your bad habits, that is astounding, astounding freedom. And you know what, again, this side of heaven, none of us will ever be perfect. We'll always have to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for our forgiveness for those daily failures that we have. We're going to still need to do that regularly. But listen, it's a far cry from where you and I were at before we knew the Lord Jesus. And this is another reason that, number one, you want to have that genuine peace. Because without the genuine peace, number two, you can't have the astounding freedom. You can't put the caboose in front of the train engine. You can't do that. It's always genuine peace first, and then following behind it is astounding freedom. You can't reverse them. Because without Jesus, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And that's why we need Him so much in our day-to-day lives, why we need to seek Him, why we need to go to Him in prayer and say, Lord, truly need You, Your resurrection power to work through me today so I can be to others what they need to be. So that's the first two. Jesus is the baby who changes everything, and He changed my life completely because He gave me genuine peace. Number two, He gave me astounding freedom. And then number three, He gave me a significant purpose for my life that is meaningful and eternal. A significant purpose, an important purpose, a purpose that matters. After we're dead and gone, you know, yesterday I was sitting on the porch. It was so beautiful outside and nice and crisp outside. And I was reading about some ancient cities, and they showed a picture in this book of a giant stone, a giant stone column, square. This one wasn't round, but it was square. And it had the names of about, 150 people or something like that, back from, the first century, a few dozen years after Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And they had names, one after another. And they were mostly Jewish names, by the way, because this was probably from near a synagogue. Maybe they were patrons that paid to have the synagogue built in this ancient city. But I thought about that. And you know what I thought about? I thought about, wow, there's names on a column, but nobody knows. Nobody has any idea who those people are. But you know what? If we're a child of God and we do things that honor God and bring glory and honor to Him, you know what? He's keeping track. It doesn't matter whether our names get put on a column or put on a plaque, or if anybody knows. The important thing is that God knows. I read about a man that served quietly in his own way. I don't think he ever wrote a book, ever did anything that was out of the ordinary. I mean, he never, got his name in lights, but he served God nearly 50 years, and then recently he passed away. And this man in a magazine was talking about him, and he says, you know what? The only people that really knew him are the people that he served. But you know what I thought about? I thought, wow, you know what? That's a long time to honor God and glorify God. Look at this verse here. Let your light so shine before men. You want significant purpose? Here it is. Let your light shine. You know, you all have a light right now. You have a candle as a symbol of this. Let your light, this is your life, so shine before men that they may see your good works, your good deeds, and glorify your Father in heaven. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You want to really call yourself a disciple? We're not talking about calling yourself a child of God. We're talking about calling yourself a follower, a disciple. And the way you're going to do that is by bearing much fruit. Well, what's that? Well, you know what that is. I mean, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. That kind of fruit. Your witness to others about Jesus. That's a significant purpose. You don't have to be a pastor, a missionary, or anything like that. You can all do those things and bring glory to the Father. So when you stand before Him, you won't only be standing before Him, you'll get to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, when I think back about my life before I met Jesus, when I was a teenager, you know what? It just all revolved around just playing the guitar and having fun and going down to the Indiana Dunes on Lake Michigan, and then in the winter going skiing. Nearby there was a ski resort. Believe it or not, there was a ski resort in Northwest Indiana. Yes, there was. It wasn't anything to write home about. In fact, the way you got to the top of the mountain is they just had this giant rope that was on a thing at the top of the hill, a pulley at the top and a pulley at the bottom, and it just went round and round. And you grabbed onto that, and it would just about pull your gloves off as it was going through your hands. And finally, your momentum caught up with that rope, and then you would be attached to it, and you just hung on. And if you tripped, like if you fell over forward, it would drag you to the top of the hill until you let go of the rope. But, you know, that was what life revolved around, is just making yourself happy. And then I tried to get a job after my first year at Purdue, and I couldn't get a job. I was going to all these places. Steel mill. I'm going to all these steel mills and things. I'm like, why can't I get a job? It says help needed and all that. Well, finally, a friend tells me about a job where he was working for welders, and I heard about that. And man, you know what? The reason God didn't let me get a job at those other places is because at this factory, there were some people who were living out their significant purpose. They were witnesses for Jesus. And by the way, I'll never forget looking through the doors of that factory one night before I came to Jesus. God was already pulling me toward Jesus, the Spirit of God. And I was looking through that door, and when I saw 90 grown men having lunch and singing Amazing Grace, I was sitting there thinking to myself, oh my goodness, grown men singing church songs in front of everybody? Who does that? And then a guy came up to me and started cussing, and he said, what I couldn't do with a hand grenade. And he said, I could just toss that out there and blow them to smithereens. And man, when I heard that, I'm sitting here looking at their faces all lit up with the glory of God. And I'm thinking about this guy, and it's like God taps me on the shoulder and says, Bob, you've got what he's got. You don't have what they have. They had a significant purpose. And you know what? I think within a week of seeing them sing, I came to Christ probably about 50 feet from where they were sitting and eating lunch and worshiping. Well, you know what? If you're here today and you have that genuine peace that I've talked to here a little bit about, if you have that genuine peace, and by that, of course, I mean that you've come to understand that you're a sinner and that you need eternal life through Christ, and you've put your faith in Him, and you know 100% sure that you're going to heaven. Now let me say this, and listen carefully. If you've never been 100% sure, and there's an awful lot of people, even in churches like that, if you've never been 100% sure, then you're not ready to meet God. I'm not saying that sometimes people don't doubt that they have eternal life. I'm just saying that anybody that tells me, you know, Pastor Bob, I've never been 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. That means you've never been saved. Because what salvation is putting faith in Christ and knowing. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, how could you be like, you know, here's what happens to a lot of people. The pastor's not being careful with them. He's just taking him and talking to him. And then he says, okay, hey, would you like to pray a prayer? Yeah. So they pray a prayer, but they're just repeating what the pastor says. But they get done praying the prayer. They have no idea that they're saved. They just said a prayer. And a lot of people have done that. No, we're talking about that when you are hearing the good news, that you realize, wow, eternal life is a gift, and it's only through Christ, and you understand his promise. I'm giving you everlasting life, and you'll never perish, neither will anyone pluck you out of my hand. That's a big difference, okay? So maybe you've never experienced this genuine peace. I wanted just to show you one more scripture here, and then we'll have a closing video. But this is a very popular verse, a very famous verse, but you know what? Christmas time is near. Just a few days before Christmas Eve. And you know what? It's the time of gift giving. You know what? I don't know anyone, maybe you do, but I don't know anyone that doesn't like getting gifts. Everybody that I know likes when they get gifts, all right? I remember I did something one year that it backfired when I was growing up. I told my mom, I could tell that she was having a tough time making ends meet. So when I was like 9 years old or 10, I told my mom, hey, Mom, you know what? Don't worry about getting me anything this year. Just get everybody else something. Don't worry about me. You know, I know that you're having a tough... And she said, oh. And, you know, she wanted just to tell, forget it, you know. But anyway, then Christmas came, and like I had like a lump of coal in my stocking. You know, it's like I got nothing, and I'm watching my sisters and brother open up gifts, and I'm like... I went to my mom later. I said, hey, what happened there, Mom? And she said, well, you told me. But anyway, yeah, that was a rough Christmas that year. I never said that again. I tell you what, that's been 50 years, and I've never said that ever since then. But anyway, that was really dumb, but I was trying to be kind. But anyway, it backfired big time. But anyway, you know, Christmas is a wonderful time of giving and getting gifts. But listen, everybody. There's no gift like the gift the Bible speaks of. Look at Romans 6:23. Here's our problem. The wages of sin is death. Adam, Eve, the day you eat, you could eat all the fruit in the Garden of Eden, but the day you eat the fruit of the tree of life, you shall surely die. The day that you eat that fruit, you're going to start on the trek toward death. And sure enough, they ate it. And they sinned against God, and that's been mankind's problem. And you've heard this before. You know, people say, what's going on in our world? The problem, the heart of the problem in our world today is the problem of the heart. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Is that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Nobody's exempt. That's the bad news. You know, when you go to a doctor, you think you might have some problem, something's killing you, something's bothering you, something's not right, maybe you're getting chest pains. You know what? A doctor's going to run tests and he's going to say, you know what, I've got some bad news for you. Hopefully he doesn't say that, but a lot of times that happens. And you say, I've got some bad news for you. See, this is the bad news, but you know what we always want to hear? The doctor says, I got some bad news for you. This is wrong with you, but... But, and we have that here, the wages of sin is death. Bad news. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is. That's the good news. And this is the best gift. You know what? No matter what you get on earth, you know what? Even if you got $1 million, somebody give you $1 million, you know what? You could spend it in one day. You could buy a house, buy a boat, buy a car. It's gone. In 1 hour, you could, I don't know, it takes so long at those car dealers. maybe I shouldn't say that, but like in 1 hour you could spend that money and it's gone. But this gift is not something you can wait, you know, use up in. It says the gift of God is eternal life. That's why I'm saying you're not saved until you know that you have eternal life. Because, you know, how can you be trusting in God for something that's eternal and you don't know you have it? Oh, Lord, I have faith in you for eternal life. Are you going to heaven? I don't know. Well, you admit you don't understand then. Because when you understand with that second part, but in contrast to the first part, the bad news, the doctor gives you good news, you could have surgery and we could get that taken care of. God comes to you, yes, you're a sinner. Yes, you failed miserably. Yes, you don't want to have your life shown before all mankind. Nobody wants that. We would be so embarrassed and it would be so shameful. But you know what? Jesus comes to us and he says, listen, I've got a gift. I paid for it. By the way, when you get gifts from others, there's always somebody else paying for that. And that's the way it is with eternity. God says, I'm going to give you a gift, but this is no ordinary gift. It's a gift that will last you forever. The gift of God is eternal life. It's God's life. The one who was and who is to come. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. He always has been. He always will be. And you know what? When I was sitting behind that factory and I was reading those verses for the first time in my life, I just said, how did I miss this? I went to church every Sunday of my life. They never said anything about this. Man, they talked about the miracles Jesus did, and they talked about this and that, and Noah and the ark, and David and his harp and all. But where, how come nobody ever told me about this? And that night, I got saved. I came back the next night, and I said to those guys standing there, the guys that I was watching through the door sing, I came back the next night, and there was about 12 of them standing there. And I said, hey, you guys, I got saved last night. And man, they went nuts. They are throwing their hard hats in the air. And man, they were on me like white on rice. They are surrounding me. And they said, you got to come to church with us Sunday. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. You got to get baptized, you know. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, but anyway, when they started talking to me about it, you know, and it may help me understand it, it was awesome. But you know what? That night, I went home. And for the first time in my life, I laid my head on my pillow. And I knew that if something happened to me in the middle of the night, I had a stroke, I had a heart attack, something happened to me, I didn't wake up. Hey, just eating at some restaurants in Chicago, you could be afraid of waking up. But anyway, I laid my head on the pillow and knew where I would be when I died. It's the greatest peace, genuine peace. So Romans 6:23, Jesus is the baby that changes everything. And maybe you're tuning in with us on the internet or on Facebook, or maybe you're here with us. And if there has never been a time in your life where you've understood this, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him, but through him. Today would be a great day to put your faith in Jesus for this free gift. See, eternal life, everyone, it's a gift. You don't earn it. God's not going to put you on a scale and see if your good outweighs your bad. He's just wondering if while you're on earth, and you got to do it while you're on earth, he's just wondering if you'll, by faith in him alone, trusting in him, say, you know what, Lord, I believe. I believe you bought me on the cross. You bought me eternal life by your death for my sins. You atoned for my sins. You paid for my sins. And like because you paid for that gift, I can simply receive it by faith. Lord, I believe. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by you. And the moment you believe, you have everlasting life, eternal life. There's not two hoops to jump through. There's not five hoops to jump through. There's not 10 hoops to jump through. It's not making a contract with God. It's not you making promises to God. It's God making a promise to you. put your faith in my son for this gift, and it's yours forever and ever and ever. Eternal life. He gave it to me nearly 42 years ago behind a factory in Chicago. And guess what? I've had it ever since that very night. You say, well, you must think you're really good. No, I think he's really a good promise keeper. Amen? He doesn't break his promise. He gave me eternal life. I got it that night, and it's mine forever. You say, yeah, but what if you turn away from God? What if you sin? What if you... Oh, if I do that, guess what? Yeah, I might get to heaven earlier. I might get there sooner than I want to get there. I might have a miserable life down here, but his promise remains. Jesus didn't pay for my sins until I was 18 and took the gift. No, he paid for my sins past, present, future. They're all paid for. They're under the blood. But sin will make you miserable. So if somebody asks that question, yeah, but what if you turn away? You know, he's not going to let you keep it. Yeah, he will. Hey, listen, if you have a child, you know, you become a child of God through faith in Christ Jesus, you get eternal life, you're his child. Listen, on earth, when we have children, sometimes we have good children and sometimes we have bad children, but nothing can change the fact that they're your children. A child might say, I'm disowning you. I don't want you as my parents anymore. I don't want it. Tough beans. You've got their DNA and nothing can change it. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you have eternal life and nothing can change that. Now, you'll be glad when you stand before him that nothing can change that. And folks, you know what? If sinlessness was a requirement to enter into eternal life, none of us would enter in. Think about it. None of us. Not one person on earth. Not one person. Well, Jesus is the baby that changes everything. What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray. And then what I'd like to do, I just had an idea. No. I'd like to pray, and then after I pray, we're going to watch a video by Faith Hill, and you'll love it. It'll be a token of what I've been trying to say this entire morning. All right, but let me pray first. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to talk about this genuine peace, this astounding victory, this astounding freedom that we have in Christ after we receive the gift. And Father, thank you for this amazing purpose, the significant purpose, Lord, that we can bring you glory. And when we see you, we could hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, Father, thank you so much. On this Christmas Sunday, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he came to be born to die. He was born to die for our sins. And Father, right now, I pray for anyone out there that's thinking about this. I just pray for those that need eternal life, Lord. I pray that they will take you at your word, and we pray that they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Just take him at his word. I give you eternal life and you will never perish. Neither will anyone pluck you out of my hand. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the baby who changed everything and continues to do so. And we pray these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen.